Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Jesus always was and is and shall be God. But now, here is the profound truth of Christmas. Now, the one who was God is now becoming flesh. We call this the incarnation. A term coming from Latin, meaning clothed in flesh, the act of assuming flesh.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. We read in the Gospel of John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a description of the birth of Jesus when the Son of God entered time and space. And today on The Verdict, we're recognizing Jesus Christ by one of his most profound titles, the Word. Now, to introduce today's message, here's Pastor John Monroe.
During this holiday week, we're thinking of different names and titles given to our Lord Jesus. The title we're discussing today may not be the first that comes to mind, but it is very profound as we think of who Jesus is. Some people think that Jesus had his beginning as a baby in Bethlehem. That's very wide of the mark. John begins his wonderful gospel by explaining that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word refers to Jesus, the revelation of God to man. So, there is no beginning to the being of the Lord Jesus. He's eternally God, and before anything existed, there was the Word. Today, let's continue to think of Jesus, the Word.
John 1 then. Trust you've got your Bible there. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who's at the Father's side, he has made him known." That's the prologue to John's wonderful gospel. We want to learn, first of all, that Jesus, the Word, is God. And John is writing his gospel to prove that Jesus is God. He's going to give seven signs, seven evidences that Jesus is God, and Jesus displays the glory of God. What's the first sign in John's gospel? The turning of water into wine. What's the second sign? The healing of the official's son. What's the third sign? The healing of the paralyzed man at Bethesda. Remember, he is paralyzed for 38 years. Fourth sign, John chapter 6, is the feeding of the 5,000. Next sign, Jesus walks on water. The sixth sign, John 9, the healing of the blind man. And then the final sign, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. This one not only can turn water into wine, not only can he walk on water, there is a man called Lazarus who's dead for 4 days. And Jesus shouts, "Lazarus, come forth," and a dead man comes forth. These are not just miracles, they are signs. That is, miracles with a meaning, revealing the glory of God. Look again at John 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." We call this the incarnation, a term coming from Latin, meaning clothed in flesh, the act of assuming flesh. By becoming man, the second person of the Trinity did not cease to be God. Here is the mystery of the incarnation, that our Lord Jesus Christ is fully God and is fully man. You say, how can that be? That's the mystery of the incarnation, that the eternal God, through whom everything is created, the eternal God who exists from everlasting to everlasting, now at a specific point in time in human history, in an insignificant little town called Bethlehem, the Word becomes flesh. The incarnation is a staggering event, isn't it? Without parallel in human history. The great eternal God, who's the creator of all things. In fact, he's so big that the whole universe can't contain him. He's infinite in his size. He's omnipresent. All of God is everywhere. That's how big he is. But now he becomes a little baby. The Word becomes flesh. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, God manifested in the flesh. The one who inhabits eternity now comes into time, into human history. And as he comes, he displays the glory of God. Now, while the miracles display the glory of God, where do we see the glory of God at its greatest? It's at the cross, isn't it? The very center of our faith. And while we celebrate, and rightly so, the arrival of God's Son into this world, that the Word become flesh, the very center of our faith is the cross of Christ. Turn with me to John 12, where I think John tells us this. John 12, verse 23. Very interestingly, isn't it, about the glory of God? Remember, these Greeks come and say, "Sirs, we wish to see Jesus." I hope you say that. We want to see him. And so on. Verse 23. "And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.'" What's he referring to? The cross. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Here again is a prediction by the Lord of his death. Through his death, there is going to be much fruit. And God is glorified at the cross of Christ. What to the world was an act of shame, a Roman cross, was to God and was to all who believe a demonstration, a wonderful demonstration of the glory of God. An unbeliever looks at the cross, tragic, too bad it went wrong. The believer sees the glory of God. Jesus is the Word. He reveals God. Now here, I want to make it personal. To personally know Jesus, the Word, is then to experience a life of hope and fulfillment. I wish we could grasp this. Satan tells us the very opposite, doesn't it? Satan tells us that true life is doing your own thing, is making yourself at the center of the universe. But into our dark world comes Jesus the light. And he comes to give us life. And he comes to give us hope and true fulfillment. Only Jesus can meet your deepest needs. Think of it. God made you in his image. We believe that God created you. God made you. He was molding you, putting you together even in your mother's womb, David says in Psalm 139. And as our creator, we are created to answer to God, to find our fulfillment in God. God created you for a purpose, not randomly. In love, he created you in his image, and you will find your greatest fulfillment not in living a life apart from God, but rather the reverse, you will find fulfillment in life by embracing Jesus, who is God. And yet, with these inner desires that we have and inner longings, we try to fill this with all kinds of false gods, don't we? Pleasure, popularity, power, ambition, all of these things. We think if we get that, we will be fulfilled in life. And yet as we pursue them, and even to a certain extent as we may achieve them, they become hollow, don't they? No, our Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he comes to give us life. In John's gospel, not only are there seven signs, there are seven I am statements. I'm going to read them very quickly, but I want you to listen to them and think of this, that our Lord Jesus Christ comes to change your life. And all of your longings are fulfilled in Jesus, the Word. He's coming to reveal God. He's coming to demonstrate the glory of God. Here's the first one. In John chapter 6, are you spiritually hungry? There's a spiritual need in your heart. You feel there's something else in life rather than the physical. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If anyone is hungry, come to me. The bread of life that comes down from heaven. He then says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. You ever find yourself in a confusing situation? You ever find yourself, you don't know where to turn? You look for guidance in life? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. The one who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Imagine following this one. He's going to lead me always in the light of life. I want that. He's God. He's not going to let me down. Here's the third one. Jesus says in John 10, verse 7, I am the door. Wondering how to get into heaven. Wonder the secret of life. Jesus says, I am the door. You feel lost, wandering, like a lost sheep? John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Think of the good shepherd who comes and takes the sheep and puts it on his shoulders. A good shepherd. Fearing death, wondering what happens after you die, with all of this COVID, with all of the uncertainty of life, there's a fear of death. I got a call yesterday morning. Spoke to a friend of mine, a mutual friend of ours, early 60s, very successful individual in worldly terms, died suddenly. I had the joy of meeting this man for a long time. He'd all kinds of questions about Scripture, about the resurrection. He was a lawyer, and I met with him week after week. He would come with all of his questions. I got him reading the Scriptures till finally he placed his faith in Christ. And my friend sent me his obituary. And the obituary said he'd been extremely successful in real estate development and obviously made a lot of money. But he said he was known by his religious devotedness. Now, we might not use the word religious, but my friend was saying even the secular world knew that this man was different. He was marching to the beat of a different drum. And now he's with God. You fear death? Jesus says, listen to him, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you want to know that one? I do. I want to know that if a car hits me, or if I die of a heart attack, or something else happens, or if I get COVID and die, that my life is indissolubly linked with the Word, the one who is the revelation of God, and that his life has become my life. And he stands and says, will you listen to him? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. The resurrection and the life. What's the last saying? John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And the point is that the more I know Christ, and the more I trust Christ, the more fruitful my life will be. He's the vine, I am one of the branches. I'm connected to the true vine, drawing strength and wisdom. You come across people whose life is bitter and withered, and they're complaining people, and they're full of bitterness. That's not how the Christian life is to be, is it? Is life cruel sometimes? Yes. Is life unfair? Yes. Does life have its disappointments and mysteries? Yes. But Jesus stands and says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You see, only Jesus Christ gives us life. Life is one of the great themes of John's gospel. The Greek word for life is zoe. It's used 54 times in John's gospel. Turn to the end of the gospel in chapter 20, and John tells us why he's writing. When you're studying a book of the Bible, ask, what's the point of the book? And sometimes the key is at the end, just as sometimes in a house people leave the key at the back. Well, John has given us the key to the book at the back. This is what he says in John 20, verse 30. John 20, verse 30. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. John has chosen them very carefully. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, here it is, you may have life in his name. Jesus doesn't derive his life from anyone. You and I do. We are dependent on God. He doesn't derive his life from everyone. He is life. He's God. You can't extinguish his life. And now, the wonder of his grace. Can you think of it? That he comes from heaven. The Word becomes flesh. Demonstrates his glory. Makes these incredible statements. Dies for our sins, so at the cross we see the majestic glory of God, rises from the dead, and says, now if you come to me, I'll give you life. John has told us, chapter 1, we read it in verses 12 and 13, that it's to those who receive him, he gives the right to become the children of God, who are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is not joining a church. This is not going through some religious ritualism. This is a living faith in the living Christ, a personal encounter with Jesus, which changes us. And we receive his life in our soul as a gift. And that life is available to you. John 5, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. In the grace of God, I can stand here and say, I have eternal life. Not that I hope for it, not that I will have it. Both of these are true, I will have it, but I have it. It's a present possession, present tense. You believe he does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death to life. Whoever hears my word, believes him who sent me, has present possession, eternal life. I have to ask you, have you eternal life? How do I get it? That's Jesus, the word revealing God. Why did he become man? For your salvation. No one else can forgive your sins. No one else can take you to heaven. He is the door. He's the only door. Another saying which I forgot, John 14, verse 6, what does it say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from me. At Christmas, God not only came to earth, he came to us. He dwelt with us so that we can have eternal union with him, that we can believe into his name. Will you trust him? Will you believe in him? If you've never done that, do that today.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Jesus the Word. Now, as a special thank you to our listeners, we'd like to send you a free copy of the helpful resource we're offering just in time for the new year. It's a booklet by John written to help you study the words of Jesus and his instructions for how to live each day in a very practical way. The booklet is called Life in the Kingdom, and it's free for the asking by mail or download when you visit our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, I'd also encourage you to take a moment to sign up for John's monthly email and receive updates and breaking news about upcoming series and events. And as we look ahead to the new year, we want to invite you to help us reach new listeners with the truth of God's Word by supporting the work of this radio ministry with a financial gift of any amount. Thanks to your financial partnership, we'll be able to continue sharing the gospel with new communities across the world in 2023. And you can give a special year-end gift today with just a few clicks of a button by going online to theverdict.org. And then if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available on all major podcast platforms. In addition to these lessons, John has a weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he offers an insightful and biblical take on relevant topics, giving them the careful consideration Scottish law calls Avizandum. Discover more by subscribing today to The Verdict Podcast. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you know anything of the glory of God? Have you encountered Jesus, who is the Word? Following Jesus is to experience a life of hope and of fulfillment. So during this holiday season, stop trying to work out your own agenda and fulfill your own dreams. Come with a broken spirit before the Lord Jesus. Confess your sins. Ask for his forgiveness. He still says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from me. The verdict is yours.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.